Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood!
Dude, that was a
Did that wake him up?
That was a beautiful That woke him up.
Everyone stopped listening. Like, everyone just turned off their computers.
They're like, dude, seriously. Oh, wait. They all thought it was their computer.
It's like, I don't need that, first thing. Really?
That was a little tugboat.
No one needs that. No one needs
you remember the tugboat, the wrestler, right?
Yeah,
tugboat. Is he still alive?
I don't know if he died or not. He might have died.
You seem a little upset. You want to take a moment?
He might have died. Yeah, I want to need a moment. He later became Typhoon when he turned heel. He was Tugboat, then he became Typhoon.
Oh, that's just... I don't like that.
You can't be a bad guy named Tugboat.
Well...
like Typhoon, that's
wasn't
evil.
He... When he originally was... Like, he came out in the WWF, he was like a good guy.
Yeah, he was Tugboat.
And then he became an evil guy?
Well, then when you turn heel, you can't be Tugboat anymore.
Okay.
He teamed up with the Earthquake.
Ah.
And then he became
and
Typhoon.
And that's when shit got real.
And they became the Natural Disasters.
You know a lot about this.
I know a lot about professional wrestling.
Dude, you should write their Wikipedia page.
I really should. Someone should write mine.
I'll write yours.
I've had... You can't,
I'm going to put sound bites in every sentence.
I can't get a Wikipedia page.
You know what? Can I tell you something? That's really...
It's impossible.
It took me 12 years to get a Wikipedia
page. It's impossible.
And I'd write a Wikipedia page, like all my bio stuff.
I've done
it. I'd send it to them and they're like, sorry, this references the nkband.com website. And I'm like, that's my website. Yeah. Why is it? I own that website. I own all the information that's on that website. It should be good. And they're like, yeah, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, they're dicks.
They are dicks. I actually just got a Wikipedia page about three,
I can't get
two,
one. I've been trying to get
ago.
One. I was on K-Rock, Kevin and Bean, like two years ago. And that's all. They just ripped on me for not having a Wikipedia page.
Really?
And then I went back last year for the morning show again, and they were just like, I was like, I've been trying for a whole year to get a Wikipedia page, and I can't get one.
So they're just like, what are you, a hack?
They're like, you're the least famous person to ever be on this show. I'm like, I know that.
They said that?
Yes.
What a dick.
Oh, they're,
what a bunch of dicks.
They're cool, though.
Yeah, they're cool.
They had me on. They're cool.
Yeah, they. I've never actually seen what they look like.
Well, Bean, it's weird. Bean works from Seattle.
Really?
It's all remote. He's not in studio. You just talking
to a speaker.
I didn't know
that. So one guy's in LA and one guy's in Seattle?
Yeah, Kevin's in
See, when
LA.
This show gets really huge, you're going to be like, I'm just going to do this from Austin, Texas.
I'll just have someone else come in and do it. I'm never going to bother.
You're like, I can't deal with the sound effects. Gonna... That's bullshit.
Someone else.
How was your week?
It was all right. It's good.
Yeah?
Just getting ready for the
do
holidays.
Do anything crazy?
No.
Stay out of the rain?
Yeah.
Is your kid still kissing girls in kindergarten?
No, he stopped.
He stopped?
Yeah.
You're good.
It's good.
You're teaching.
You don't want your kid kissing kids in kindergarten.
He was on a rampage for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, he was like prison hugging people in kindergarten.
That's terrible. So what, did you give him a timeout for that? Or were you just
no,
like,
I just talked to him. You can't do that, buddy.
But you talked to him once, and then he did it again. And he was like, and then he blamed, didn't he blame it on the girl?
Well, no.
He
did. He said the girl did it to him first. Which I think is Bill Cosby's argument.
And you knew he was guilty. You were like, no.
Yeah, I know what you're doing, buddy. Yeah. I know what you're doing. You can see through this.
Tracy was probably like, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, no, I wasn't running around kissing people. That's gross.
I got married in kindergarten. It was a big year for me.
Yeah, you had the hots for your teacher.
I did. You know what? But you know what? I got married to one of my fellow classmates, and I had the hots for my teacher. I remember that.
Is it still binding?
Miss Cunningham, I remember. Good stuff.
Good stuff. What have you been doing?
I've been moving for the last week. Dude, let me tell you.
Oh, you're moving into a house, right?
Yes, yes. I have been moving. Okay, moving. I don't know if I've told you this, but... moving is like right above death for me. That's like...
I think that's standard
like
for everybody.
My personal hell... No, somebody said, I think I'd rather... Somebody said, I don't know what's worse, moving or doing a job interview. And I was like, dude, I would do 50 job interviews over moving any day of the week.
Moving's the worst thing ever. I don't think there's the airport.
I think I'd rather do a week or 2 weeks of nothing but rides to the airport than move. Moving is like the worst
thing. I don't
know.
Giving someone a ride to the airport to LAX from
Dude,
Hollywood.
Dude, I would do it. That's no problem.
6 o'clock in the evening.
I can listen to music. It's like, you know, I'm outside. I'm doing shit.
Or waiting to pick them up and you have to keep circling. I don't know.
Yeah, it's been hellacious. So I've been moving nonstop almost every day to like 1:30 in the morning. In the midst of that, found a gas leak in the house.
Oh, good.
Had to redo the whole gas line. Just like crazy, crazy shit that I just never thought I would ever want to get into. But now...
Now you have a home literally, with a yard.
Yeah, now it's like, well, there's still shit everywhere, but everything's in the house. You know what I mean? You'd be proud of me, actually. So I bought a new TV because I haven't bought a TV in 10 years.
Oh, you finally have a flat screen.
I finally have a flat screen.
No more big box?
I know. I have a huge big box TV sitting in my old apartment. I'm like... those things weigh like
they're pointless.
400 pounds.
Yeah.
So anyways,
TVs are so cheap now.
The first thing I watched was your favorite movie.
What?
Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, good. Good call.
Dude, that shit was awesome. You know what I realized? I'm like watching that movie and I'm like, dude, I really don't like the George Lucas like additions to the movie. It kind of takes you in and out of that movie.
Yeah, he did that. He fucked them
up. It's like you're watching this movie that was like filmed in the 80s, and then all of a sudden it's like, let me fast forward to this one stupid clip of what we can do in 2000,
I know, it's dumb.
Whatever.
I mean, I understand, like, as an artist, you never want to finish something. You always want to keep tweaking it and tweaking it and tweaking it. But at some point, you've got to, like...
But if anything that you did that was like... Okay, let's say you made a comedy CD, okay?
Yeah.
30 years later, and it's a huge comedy CD... Why would you go back and change it?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
I never understood.
And then he didn't want to release the movies as they were.
He still hasn't released.
But Disney's going to, I heard.
I hope they do. But he did one thing a few years ago. He re-released the originals, the original three, the original trilogy, the original way they came out with it before he did the special edition.
But when was that?
He released them on the... you could rebuy episodes 4, 5, and 6, the special edition. And on the second, and they came with a second disc where it had the originals unedited or updated,
untweaked.
But the thing is, he did them in lower. He didn't do them in high def. Like they weren't letterboxed. They weren't high def, so you could watch them, but it was very poor quality.
So he wants you to watch.
So he's kind of like, here, take this, guys. Finally, here, stop it.
But I heard Disney. I read an article that Disney's going to re-release all the original versions.
I hope they do. I hope they do.
You know, it's funny. A friend of mine took me on a tour of Fox Studios, and the original Star Wars films are all in their cases in this vault. And I was just staring. I was like 2 feet away from them. I'm like, I could just steal this right now and just make some fucking copies and release it.
No, you would die in about 4 seconds. You would be shot down.
But you know what? Like, that movie was so awesome. I mean, I don't even think when they were making it, they knew how great it would be.
Empires was great.
Empire. And you know what? It's like I was watching. First of all, I was watching the Han Solo bit. You know how you have a comedy bit.
Yeah.
It's actually one of my favorite bits that you do. And, dude, I was watching it, and, man, it was, like, making me, like, pee with laughter because, dude, he really is a total
dick.
He's a total dick. But you know what? He starts earlier before – and, dude, by the way, your tauntaun is
spot
on.
Spot on.
Dude, can I get a little live tauntaun?
It's hard to do without a
– Just try it,
It's kind of
– Dude, that – honestly –
That's about as good as I can do.
I was moved. I was moved. No, but it was funny. I was watching the tauntauns. I was like – Oh my God, Eddie actually does a pretty good
hit it out of the park.
Yeah, but you know what? There's one scene right before your joke where he's like, hey, is Luke Skywalker, has he been found yet? And the guy's like, well, he's probably not here. And he's like, he's probably, why don't you go and check?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm like, ooh, he's being a dick. Oh, and then he just turns it up.
He's the original bad boy.
Dude, he was, he's like the love tension between Princess Leia and Han Solo. Some real shit.
I think he's got it all, man.
Dude, it really does.
It's got incest. Yeah. It's got all sorts of stuff.
The best scene is when Luke gets kissed in that first scene.
Damn, I'm saying it's got
incest.
And
then you just see he's just like, I got it. And it's like, whoa.
Just laid it on my sister. Take that.
Yeah, there was all kinds of things that I noticed like about the movie. But that was one of the things that took me out of the film watching these new clips. And I never did. I think I was more excited about the new clips when I first saw them. But it was just, you know.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It was different. It was definitely made me realize, you know, that shit ain't really the original. It's not the OG. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the original.
You know, that's what you grew up with. It's like, so anyways, I'm looking forward to the new Star Wars. I'm looking forward to...
It'll be good.
I hope they re-release in the theaters the old original version. That would be dope.
I doubt they will.
I don't think they'll do that. Anyways, I think our special guest has arrived.
Hello.
Misha Sizel. I don't know how to say your last name. Elaine?
Can just say Misha Sizel.
Misha
cool.
Sizel. Okay, there we go. I'm sorry. Never mind.
No worries.
Misha Sazelle, you are all the way from Jamaica.
Yeah, man.
She's like,
I have to say it. You know you guys are waiting for me to say it.
Of course. So what brought you to L.A.? Tell us how you got into music. Tell us what this music whole project got. How did it start for you?
Well, what brought me to L.A. was school. I had applied to L.A. Music Academy with no real hopes of even getting in or even knowing how I'd ever be able to afford it. And I actually got a scholarship to go there, which was awesome.
Wow, that's awesome. So, night and day from what you were expecting.
Yeah, totally.
I'm not going to get in. Oh, you can go for free. Wow. That's completely opposite.
Sweet.
So I swear that's probably the only reason why I got a chance to go. And so, yeah, that brought me to L.A. But, you know, from before that, you know, I grew up in a performing arts group, and I would sing and dance and do the whole shebang. So music has always kind of been there for me.
And was your family musical? Like, I just assume, like, people in islands are always playing guitars, because I have a lot of friends that are from, like, Tahiti and stuff. No, really. I've got some friends from Tahiti, and it's like, dude, these guys
are
What are your
other thoughts on races?
People just play music. Like, it's different. Like, in Europe, people, like, are more appreciative of music than they are here. It's just the way it's in the culture.
What other stereotypes have you found about people in
Europe? While we're at it.
Jesus.
No, but you're actually right. Like, in Jamaica, there's always music playing. Always music playing on the side of the road, everywhere. So, you know, we love our music. And, of course, reggae music is very big. But we also listen to other types of music as well. And, you know, I wouldn't say my family's musical. But, you know, they appreciate the
supportive
arts.
Of the arts. Okay. Yeah. And who are some of your biggest influences? Like, what were some of the biggest names
you
were like, man, I want to do what that is because
Beyonce.
Of this person. Beyonce. Bae. Eddie's a huge Beyonce fan.
My posters.
Why does that sound so sarcastic?
He is. Can't you see it? He looks like a Beyonce.
I don't even think it's Beyonce. I just don't listen to Beyonce. I just don't have anything.
But you know she's talented. She's super talented. Let's be
honest. I assume so. I really don't.
Careful.
Listen to anything. I don't listen to her.
Beyonce fans in the house. No.
I don't think. I'm not saying she's not. I just don't know. Like,
so you don't practice any dance moves? That
no.
She's, no? Are you sure?
No.
You don't rock out?
Pretty positive.
You know what? You should play some Beyonce for your kid. Just see what his reaction is.
I should. I think my wife has.
And you're like.
My wife loves Beyonce.
Oh, well then, so Colton has heard Beyonce.
I'm sure he has. The thing is, I couldn't pick out a Beyonce song if you were playing. I wasn't going to go, oh, that's Beyonce.
Really? Yeah,
she's got some good stuff.
I just
honestly,
don't know. I just don't, it's not that I don't have anything against her. I just don't listen.
She's got some very well-arranged pop tunes.
I'm sure she does.
That are just pretty.
I just don't.
She's always like kind of doing things that are like breaking the trends, which
different.
I think is awesome. Yeah, that's what I love about
her. Like she keeps
it
current, but not too trendy.
Like my wife tried to get me to watch that Jay-Z Beyonce concert or whatever it was, because it was on HBO or something like that. And she's like, here, watch this. I'm like, I don't want, I just
like,
didn't,
nah.
I didn't want to watch. I think it doesn't interest me.
You know what?
Like it doesn't interest me.
I know this sounds crazy, but watch her documentary because it actually shed some light on like how much of a vision she
has.
But
I'm not interested to watch her. That's like saying, hey, watch me do this origami. I'm like, I don't care.
Well,
I don't want to watch
for
origami.
For me, I get fascinated when I see any artist like, do it like a collective work, like Misha's got a CD. Like when you put something together and you have a vision towards what it, you know,
I appreciate
what
it. It's like soccer. Like I don't like soccer, but I appreciate how great of athletes.
All right, you're not
they
a
are.
Beyonce fan. We get it.
That's all I'm saying. That's why I tried to say at the beginning.
But you know what? Tonight you're going to be
a
Misha fan.
I appreciate her talents, but I just don't watch it. That's all.
I get it. We so tried. Beyonce is your biggest influence. Who else?
Yeah, but growing up, though, I mean, I listened to all of the greats. You know, Whitney Houston, Boyz II Men, Janet Jackson, Brandy. Of course, Bob Marley.
Of course, yes.
You know, Bear Salmon, those are some of, like, my favorite reggae artists.
Toots and the Maytals? You love God,
yeah,
love
yeah,
Toots.
Definitely. And, Toots? Like, a lot of this...
Oh, yeah.
Who's Toots?
Toots and the Maytals. Toots actually came up with the term reggae. For all you reggae fans
out
there.
Oh, my gosh. Can't talk to Nicky about reggae because he knows more than me. Like,
I love reggae. No, Toots, he came up with the term reggae. And the music is just so... It's so powerful. It's, like, slow because it's supposed to mimic the sound of your heartbeat. It's deep shit.
I didn't know that.
And for our next segment, no, I'm just kidding. All right, so you love Toots. Well, who else?
And then, I mean, I love hip hop. So like Jay-Z, I used to be a huge Tupac fan. Like you wouldn't even understand how much I used to love Tupac. You know, and a lot of the new stuff out there now. Like I'm a new recent fan of Taylor Swift.
Right.
I think everyone's a new recent fan of Taylor. Like, everyone hates Taylor Swift until they listen to her. Like, oh, I like Taylor.
I like this song.
I think everybody goes through that phase.
Well, she's doing a huge pop record. Like, she's, like, controlling the pop charts.
Yeah, like, pop now.
And her new record is, like, the first platinum record of the year.
Oh, yeah?
It only took 11 months for her platinum
record. It's really good, though.
It's good.
It's, like, really, really good. Yeah. So
you're way into the pop, way into the dance music. You love dance music, I can tell.
Yeah, I love pop. I love a lot of different types of music. I mean, I've also listened to things like, you know, Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Damien Rice. Love Damien Rice.
Yeah, he's great.
Just lots of different
So when styles. You came to your vision for the record, what was your thought? You were thinking, okay, I want to do this style, I want to do this style, I want this to be, like, how did you choose what was going to be the vision of the album?
Well, I always had a very clear vision. I think my challenge was figuring out how to
execute it.
But I've always wanted to do a crossover between, you know, dancehall and pop, which I know sounds cliche, but, you know, like as a new artist coming up, like I think one of the biggest challenges is establishing your sound. And you can literally spend like several years just doing that. So with this record, I spent a lot of time like really trying to make sure that it had a pop sound and that it was crossover, but it was still, like, true to, you know, Jamaican music.
To roots, yeah.
And so, like, every single song, I kind of gave it a test. Like, there had to be some Jamaican element, whether it was, like, a reggae bass line or, like, you know, whether it was the way I said certain things or, like, whether it was the backbeat, you know, it always had,
Well, it's
like
part of your roots. I mean, exactly. it's like heritage, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want your Jamaican relatives to be like... Hey, Misha, I don't even want
Come
to
on,
do
go
that.
On. Follow through with it. Follow
you,
through.
You were about to have follow me
through.
Like,
I was going to eat it up. Follow through with your reggae accent.
Hey, man, how many jobs you got? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
no, no, but wow. You know, like, it's like so much a part. Like, the funny thing is, like, I'm from India, and it's like, I don't use a lot of Indian culture, like, cultural music stuff, but I didn't live there, so I think that's the biggest reason.
Okay.
But it's awesome. Like, that. I think that makes... artists, like when you're from a place that's
right.
so different, it's beautiful when you can kind of
Mix
put that
in.
Yeah, it's like a recipe. You're making something dope.
I love Indian music. You should try it.
I know. You know what? I feel like I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it later. Like, I'm just kind of like, I'm all over the map.
I just don't want to get into it with the gowns and everything. It's just too much. Is that what
Soon
you're saying?
I start burning the patchouli oil, Eddie's going to be like, no, I'm done. Well, let's get into a live performance of one of the songs from your record. What are you going to play for us first?
Okay, this song is called Ready for Love. It's one of my favorites because... there's a funny story behind it. I called home one day when I was living up here. And, you know, my sister was living in Jamaica at the time. I'm a twin. And I called home to hear her at the piano with my mother playing a song that they were supposedly writing for me. And they're like, oh, Misha, we're writing you a hit song. I'm like, what the hell? You guys
awesome.
Don't write music. But I was like, okay. And I was just so, like, touched by it. And the only real line that she had was Ready for Love, and she had like a very rough melody, no real lyrics or anything. But
right.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this into a song. So
let's hear it.
That's how it is.
Ready for Love.
You could get it all straight down to my heart. Any of my time, every part of my trust. You could get anything you wanted from me tonight. In my eyes, you could be the one. You could be the one to make me feel like I'm ready for love. Ooh, you send me. I don't need any diamonds or pearls. I am the luckiest girl. Love, hurry, hurry, come to me now. Can't wait for you to come back around. Got me feeling so ready for love. Feeling so ready, don't hold back, hold on to me tight. I know that the feeling is right. Got me feeling so ready for love. Feeling so ready for love. Send me, take me there anywhere you wanna go. So we could get lost in your secret world. We could be anything we wanted to be tonight. In my eyes, you could be the one. You could be the one to make me feel like I'm ready. for love. Ooh, you send me. I don't need any diamonds or pearls. I am the luckiest girl. Love, hurry, hurry, come to me now. I can't wait for you to come back around. Got me feeling so ready for love. Feeling so ready, don't hold back, hold on to me tight. I know that the feeling is right. Got me feeling so ready for love. Feeling so ready, I'm not playing around. He's got me mesmerized. Love at first sight, from then on I knew. Only he could ever make me say I do. So don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. I have no control anymore. Now that love has taken over. Love, hurry, hurry, come to me now. I can't wait for you to come back around. Got me feeling so ready for love. Feeling so ready. Don't hold back, hold on to me tight. I know that the feeling is right. Got me feeling so ready for love. Feeling so ready for love. I'm so ready for love. I'm so ready for love. 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 Love.
Very nice. Our studio audience loved it. Very good, very good. Oh, a double applause.
Nuts.
Woo! And silence. Yeah. We can just cut them off.
I love that, though. I mean, my own audience.
They're a paid audience.
Know,
so.
They're sneaking around. You know, like they, you know, they're around. They're yeah. they're ever present.
They do what we
omnipresent,
want.
I should say. Yeah. That's a killer tune. Is that one of the singles for your record?
Well, no, actually, but if
you're like, no.
No, but it's one of my favorites just because of, you know, the sentimental.
Yeah, that's stuff. Awesome. No, it's awesome. So let me ask you a question. So how did you choose the songs that were going to be on the record? I mean, I'm sure every artist like writes like 15 songs and then puts maybe 4 or 5 on a record, 6, whatever it is.
Yeah, you know, that's a tricky part too, because as a young musician up and coming.
You're like, it's the first impression, what do I got
to
do?
Yeah, and I mean, these things cost money, you know what I mean?
So, and it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so I did actually record quite a few, but then I definitely did that test I told you about, like which song sounded most Jamaican while sounding pop.
Right.
I definitely kind of had an idea of where I wanted to be in the marketplace. So I thought that out of all the songs I wrote, these, you know, 4 songs were the best in terms of that. There's only one song on the EP that's a little bit slower, kind of, but all of the others are kind of up-tempo.
So you had a very, like, almost like business head approach about putting certain songs on your album. Not so much as, like, I just, these are my favorite, or this is what I, this is what, this artistically.
You're like, I want this to be
well,
the
Well, so
market.
I'm saying, like, that's not like, you know, it's not artistically what I feel
is
tops of what I can do, but this is what I feel gets me to where I need to be.
Well, I think some of the most successful artists are kind of like that, where art meets commerce. You, like, you kind of think about what's marketable, what's the market doing, you know what I mean? I think it's important on some level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Big props to Jackson, who's playing guitar for you.
Yeah, I'm so lucky
Nicely
to have
done.
Him. Yeah.
He's just Eddie's Eddie's kind of flirting with you with that.
It wasn't as long as the other one, but it was there.
Get a room, you two. Get a room.
Seriously.
God damn it!
It's so fun. No, it sounded great. Seriously. And tell me about the instrumentation on the record. Who's playing what? What's on the record?
Well, you know, I recorded most of it in Jamaica.
Right.
So all of the musicians are Jamaican. I got an awesome keyboardist, you know, his name is Alex Martin, and Rohan Dwyer produced everything. He played, like, you know, drum, you know, the drum machine and stuff. So I think the keyboard is the only live instrument on it, but
so you want it to be more electronic?
Yeah, I kind of wanted it to be more electronic, and it's something I didn't know just going into music. Like, I'd always hear different types of music, but I wasn't really sure, like, you know, what the different instruments involved were. But, you know, kind of going into this EP process, that, you know, I really kind of decided that I wanted it to have more of an electronic sound, but, you know, I still wanted it to be a little bit kind of indie-ish, I guess.
Not Indian-ish. Not to be confused.
And how would that sound?
Just kidding. I'm dissing my own people. That's terrible. Oh, Nikki, terrible. Horrible. Jeez.
Horrible.
Going to hell. Going to hell.
Well, there's no hell.
So let me ask you a question. So when you're coming through this record, this recording process, like for me, it's been maybe 13 or 12, maybe 14 years since I started making records. Mm-hmm. What was the first or the biggest obstacle in making the record that you were just like, oh my God, I'm ready? Like, most people don't really understand what it takes to make a record.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. There's a lot of new directions. There's things you have to live with. There's things that you didn't expect to happen that are magical that happen in the process. What was one of the biggest obstacles that you went through?
I think the biggest obstacle for me was having something so clear in my mind, but then having to learn to compromise when working with other people.
Right.
Because, you know, music is so organic, you know, and it has life. And so you kind of have to give it room to breathe.
Right.
So, like, even working with my producer back home, and, I mean, I love him to death. He's amazing. You know, I always had, like, my way of doing it or my, you know, what I wanted to do, but then he had his opinions as well.
And you were also, like, here for some of the parts of, like, the mixing, right? So he would send you mixes from Jamaica, and you'd be here.
Exactly.
That is crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how you did that.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that was...
I remember you sent me an email. You're like, oh, my God, he's sending the mixes right now. And I was like, wait, he's doing the mixes in Jamaica, and you're here? That is crazy. I don't know how you do that. That's
you know what amazing. It is? Like, I just had such a great relationship with this guy.
Trust him.
And when it came time to doing my first EP, there was nobody else I wanted to work with.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he is just so awesome to work with. He knew my strengths and weaknesses.
He knew how to push
you. Exactly. And a lot of other people would have been like, you know what, screw you, Misha, you're crazy.
Right.
A long time ago. And he, you know, he's just amazing. So,
well, let's play something from this record. So what is the first song, How Do I Say Goodbye? Is that what we're playing?
Yeah.
Is this the single?
Yeah, so this
She's
song,
like,
this was
no,
yeah. no. So this was actually released previously on another CD.
Eddie hates it when I do that. I just like to, I
so
like
much
to push
fun
a little
over there.
Buttons,
pushing my buttons,
blow but, shit up. That's what we do here.
God damn it!
You need to get some foghorns.
That's how I opened the show. The moon.
Oh yeah.
I got something like that. I got something like that. Sort of. All right, so what were you saying? So is this the...
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So that's technically the single. It's on a compilation album called Absinthe, which is by another Jamaican producer, which features some other amazing Jamaican artists. And this has kind of been everybody's favorite, so...
Okay, cool. How Do I Say Goodbye? This is Misha Cizelle.
Yeah.
Nice indeed. So I got two questions. One, silence.
Shut up.
That was awesome.
Top appreciated.
You did it
everything.
So nonchalant too. You're just like, and we're done. Audience, and that's it. Silence. So, what were some of the like Jamaican elements in that song? I mean, I heard the kind of drum pattern mm-hmm. was one of the things I heard, but you tell us for our listeners' sake.
Well, this song is really crossover, but I would say the beat, you know, like that syncopation is definitely more Jamaican, and I think even the phrasing, you know, the way I sing it is has more of a Jamaican groove, even though I'm not really speaking Pato or anything. It kind of has that vibe.
I like the phrasing of the harmonies too, because they're not like straight two and four. They're like they're on upbeats in some places, and it's super cool. And I also you had like little keyboard. They sound like guitar bends. I'm sure you heard those, right? But they're keyboard little bends, right? But you can hear them like in the left ear and then the right ear. They're just like popping all over, like little fireworks. It's really cool.
The producer is Just Easy Productions produced it, and the producer Marlon Easy. He's really talented. So.
Isn't it just easy? No tea.
You said, swear, you need to come live in Jamaica.
All right, the second question is, I'm looking on your record, and it says lead vocals engineered by William Shakespeare.
I know, right?
You got to tell me
how
that came about, and who is William Shakespeare besides?
When I first met him, I was like, you have to be kidding me.
And he's like, no, that's my real name.
That's actually his real name, and he is like the most amazing engineer ever to work with.
That's
apart
awesome.
From Jeremy from Firehouse, who you've probably met.
But can he write sonnets? Is he
That's
a poet?
That's what I really want to know.
Wouldn't it be kind of funny if his grammar was like really terrible and every email
I know,
you
right?
got? You're just like, dude, seriously, man, what's going on?
You have to live up to that name.
It's going to be hard, though. Like, your entire life, you're like, no, really, what's your real name?
Like, you're like, no.
Your entire life. It was like, seriously, though, what's your real
like,
name?
He's like, dude, my name is William Shakespeare. You think his like, parents were right. like, okay, our last name is Shakespeare. What should we name him?
But he also chooses to go by William and not Bill.
Yes, I was just thinking that too.
He's choosing to go by William Shakespeare.
But you know, because if he said Bill Shakespeare, people would be like, dude, that's William Shakespeare. You know, but he's trying to be different. He's embracing it. I like it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Hey. Hey.
And he probably gave you sonnets in between vocal takes.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Now we talked about the biggest obstacle on the record.
Mm-hmm.
What was one of the biggest highs of making the record? I missed.
The biggest high would be, let's see.
Take your time.
Biggest, I know, right? Because we have all night. Because all of it was just so terrible.
I asked that question. It was just like, okay, what do we do here?
How can I not make a marijuana reference right now?
You guys are terrible. Okay, here we go. So the biggest high was finally submitting everything.
And we're all out of time.
I'm just kidding.
finally submitting what? What were
you
saying?
You guys aren't nice. No, I'm just joking. No, finally submitting like everything to iTunes, everything to get printed. Like, you know, the business side of music is a whole other beast.
Oh, man.
As in,
I know
it will drive you crazy.
Yes,
and
yes,
there were
indeed.
Some nights when I was just like, you know what? Screw my life. I hate this.
Yes.
And just so many things to learn and different formats and wave this and
did you
know?
Upload your music to like straight up to iTunes? Did you have to do like the pricing?
No.
I think the pricing's obnoxious.
Oh yeah, I didn't have to do all of that luckily. I just went through a company in London.
Okay.
But uploading to, you know, it was just oh my gosh.
Like iTunes has this weird thing. They have pricing and then it's not like, oh, you have an EP, it's $5.99. It's like mid. That's one, and then another one's front, and it's mid-front. And
oh,
it's like,
yeah, I did
it's all these
see
code
that.
Names. It's
yeah.
like, dude, what
How
the
would
fuck
I know that? Like, who
exactly.
knows these things?
Yeah. No, that's the industry side that it's just like, why are you making it harder than it needs to be?
I know.
So the feeling of your first record
yep.
in your hands,
mm-hmm. and
that had to be unbelievable.
Seeing it on iTunes, like, I literally
yeah.
stalked iTunes, and I was, like, up on my computer all night to just see
like,
when
oh
it
my
was.
God.
I was like, I'm official!
So you had your CD release party at the House of Blues.
Yes.
That's my old stomping grounds. I love
know.
That venue. And how long ago did you have your CD release party?
Oh my gosh. It was like 2 months ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And were you excited? Were you nervous? Was there anticipation? Were you just like, God, let me get through this?
Well, I'm always like, you know, I to this day, like I'm always nervous to do anything musical.
Right.
But I was anxious to finally hear it live because these songs I've never performed before. Like, I've performed a lot in California, but it's never been this new material and this new sound that I'm trying to do. And
did you perform with a band? Did you do it with a DJ? What was the instrumentation?
That's a funny story, but long story short, I ended up doing it with to tracks because that was a big part of my vision to be able to get more of that electronic sound and to be able to perform more closely to what the recording sounded like. I had all of my stems done, like all, you know, backgrounds, all the different instruments. So the live performance was pretty much like the recording.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. Wow. So it's like a club vibe.
Yeah, and then I got two dancers, and it was nice.
Was Eddie one of the dancers?
No, yeah. I tried to be. I didn't make the cut.
Come to think of it.
It's just interesting that you perform. It's not so much live performances. You do a lot of recording more, right?
Recently, more recording. But when I first moved to California, I mean, I was performing like every week.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it was more performing and like almost zero recording.
Okay.
And it's like, no, it's like completely flipped.
That's crazy. That's just interesting to me. As a performer, like, you need like that rush of performing. Like, that's part of what I'm a comedian. That's part of, like, that's the only reason you do it is for the rush.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You can't be a comedian without an audience.
Yeah.
Well, that's the hardest part, I think, about making a record is there is no audience.
Yeah.
You're like performing for nobody, you know, and you have to generate that.
Yeah,
that's
such an interesting
We used to have parties when we would record, and that was even more chaotic. It was like, okay, I can't do this. This is like, I'm trying to work, and it's just like, dude, there's pizza boxes all over the place. Yeah. People doing, you know, X, Y, and Z. You know, it's just like, now it's like I like to just be all about work. Just do the work, get in and out, go home, watch a movie, and call it a day. But it's funny because you're right. It's like you have to generate that vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the vocal, especially as a vocalist, because you're not even looking at the band or nothing. It's just like, you have to just like, okay, this is the vocal take that just has to be the vocal take. You know
you're
what
like,
I mean?
Be awesome now.
That's crazy.
Did you ever have days that you were just like, I'm not feeling it. I just, like, you maybe had too much pressure, or you just like were over singing for like days before, or
did you need to record?
Yeah, while recording.
No, I always get so excited when I'm about to record. Like, I love doing it, and it's always like this anxiety to try and get what you're hearing in your head out on a record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm always like super excited to go in the studio. Always excited.
I was always, when I started making records, it was like I would put so much pressure on myself that it was just like, if it wasn't there, it was more frustrating. And I was spending time like not doing it. Now it's like, oh, I feel comfortable in the space to just lay it down. So let me ask you a question. Like, where are you playing next? What are your websites where people can find you? Give us the lowdown.
So I don't have any immediate shows coming up. But, you know, all my stuff is on iTunes. It's on SoundCloud. And
what's your SoundCloud website?
It's soundcloud.com/MishaSazel.
Okay, spell it. Because that's a pretty involved name, like Nikki Okorula. So I'm like, people aren't gonna. You're like, people should know Misha Sazel.
I know, it's like
they don't
so
know there's
popular.
A C in Sazel. I mean, come on.
It's MichaSazelle. So it's just soundcloud.com/MishaSazel.
Awesome. Yeah, so and what's next for you? Like, you now you've gone through this EP. Are you excited to make another record? Are you like, man, I just want to play these songs live. I don't want to do anything like related to a recording studio.
No, I'm anxious to record again because, I mean, I have so much music that I would love to get recorded.
Right.
Like, I'd really, really love to get recorded. But I know at the same time, like, everything is a process. And, like, this particular process was so exhausting that, you know, I kind of told myself I would take a little vacation because I realized I haven't really taken a vacation in, like, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years.
But it's funny because right now that the record's done, this is not the time to take a vacation.
I know.
You deserve it because you've probably gone through, this took what, like a year and a half, something like that? So you deserve a vacation.
Yeah.
But this is the opposite time to take a vacation.
No,
that's the hardest part about it.
Yeah, you're like, absolutely right.
Now I mean, you got to promote it, you know?
Yeah, like I've been trying to do, you know, the whole live show stuff, but I think, you know, even like now, next week I'm going to Jamaica. Usually I'd be working on a music project, but like, you know, next week when I go home, I'm just going to relax and just enjoy home because that's something
as
I
you
haven't
should.
Done. Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah, and then when I come back, I'll hit the pavement again.
Now, you probably have a lot of family, friends, and fans in Jamaica that are probably like, when are you doing a CD release show down here?
Yes.
And you're like, I'm not. I'm
never.
Gonna do nothing.
No, I would love to perform in Jamaica, but you know, the Jamaican audience is very, very particular, and they're very unforgiving.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
you think they'd be like warm about music?
I mean,
like,
my friends, obviously my friends, right, you know, my right. friends are always going to love me. But
the stranger.
Yeah. You know, like if I feel like, you know, when I go to Jamaica, I have to have like everything sorted out, you know? And I'm getting closer to that point. Like, you know, I do have, you know, most stuff sorted out, but it's Jamaica is a tricky place for music.
Do you think it's a challenge more to break in a city like Los Angeles, or is it more of a challenge to like appease your own country men mm-hmm. and women? You know what I mean?
Traditionally, it's people always say that, you know, the Jamaican industry appreciates you more when you make a name for yourself overseas and right. then come back home. And if you look at quite a few really popular international Jamaican acts, you know, that has kind of been their experience. I think in Jamaica, for you to really do well, you have to really do a specific type of music.
Right.
Whereas au pair, you have more freedom to explore different styles, and you can, you know, kind of get a little more success doing different types of things, and there are more opportunities to perform and, you know, like express your talent. But in Jamaica, maybe not so much.
So you can bring back a wider variety of what you can, you know, of your music than you can if you just try to grow it there. It has to be a certain way there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas like if you went out and made it in LA or a different city, and then it, you can change and be different, and then you can take it there and people are more accepting of it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and I think Jamaica, like, the, you know, I know the music scene has grown a lot, and, you know, there are more live music venues, and people are, you know, trying different types of music now, which is a really awesome thing.
Oh, that's good.
Well, let's get to your next live performance. What are you going to play for us?
Alrighty, this song is called Enough. It's not on the EP, but
unreleased. I
love unreleased.
That. World premiere.
I like that. Here it comes.
Darkness is tugging at me. I'm hiding from everything. My inner demons, so restless. They're telling me I'm not worth it, and I don't wanna live like this. Feels like I don't wanna exist. Lord knows I'm trying to be strong, but I don't really feel like holding on. I just wanna throw my hands up. I don't give a fuck, this shit sucks. And don't tell me to tough it out. I have had enough. If you're trying to protect me, you're gonna have to come get me. Cause I'm already under, and this game is over. I've had enough. I've had. I'm looking at my reflection, but I don't really like what I'm seeing. This struggle is very real. My mind's playing tricks on me. Can't you see you're losing? What do you really think you're doing? And these voices in my head are telling me my dreams are already dead. And these days I believe it. A million times I repeat it. They tell me conquer my fears and defeat it, but I just don't feel. If you're trying to protect me, you're gonna have to come get me. Cause I'm already under, and this game is over. I've had enough. I've had. Here is so cold. You're reaching out, but I can't feel anymore. When did it become so dark? We're so close, but we feel so far apart. Emotions are taking a toll on me. Disappointments have been so faithful to me. Can't you see my time is up? And I have had enough. I have had enough. be trying to protect me. You're gonna have to come get me, 'cause I'm already under, and this game is over. I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough.
Very nice.
Oh, love it.
That was a magical experience.
That was great. That's a great song.
That's a killer tune.
Thank you.
Now, how did that not go on the record? You were just like, nah, I'm going to do this later.
Well, it wasn't ready in time, and then I figured I kind of wanted it for another record.
Well, that's the introduction. People are going to be like, now I want to buy her next record.
Yes.
That's the idea, you know?
Yes.
So what do you think has been the most challenging process about being a new artist? You got your new record. What's the biggest challenge for you to just get the music heard or to get the audience, build the brand, et cetera, et cetera?
Definitely getting the audience.
That's what this show is for, right?
Are y'all listening? Yeah, definitely getting the audience and just figuring out which route to take, because there's so many different routes to this whole music industry. Yeah. You know,
there's no one way.
There's no one way. So,
wish there was.
I know,
just
right?
Follow the money.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
It's a problem with entertainment.
Yeah.
There's no one way.
Well, I mean, if there was, it wouldn't make it interesting. Would it?
I'd rather be uninteresting.
I know, right?
Know what I'm doing.
It would be uninteresting.
I don't need the interesting part of it. The interesting part is what sucks.
But then that's the challenge. It's like,
no, because it's like in any other business, it's like, okay, if I do this and this and this, then this and this will happen and this will happen and this will happen.
Yeah, but
this
that's
like
a thing.
I always say that, Eddie. Oh, my gosh. Like, you're taking the words right out of my mouth.
That's what I hate about
and
this
no
business.
One understands that. They're like, oh, Misha, that's crap.
Yeah.
But it's
But
true.
Look at all the people that do those jobs and do those things. Most of them are like, I hate my job.
Well, I don't want to do what they do. I just wish the same logic applied to the entertainment business.
The problem is it's just all subjective. But that's the whole point of, like, that's why we wanted to do this show. We wanted to bring artists like yourself, mm-hmm. like that deserve a showcase, like that deserve a spotlight on what you're doing.
It's like that with music, you know, acting, comedy. It's all like that.
Mm-hmm. Anything art, even restaurants, it's like that. Like, I have friends that are like running their own restaurants, and they're like, man, it's ridiculous what people write on Yelp just because like their grandma was a shitty cook.
You're
going
to deal with people's opinions, and people are fucking idiots.
Dude, our listeners are like, dude, anything's for idiots.
Individually, I love people, but in masses, you're fucking idiots. You're all a bunch of fucking morons. But individually, you guys are great.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm sorry. I hate YouTube. That's all. I hate YouTube.
Dude, you are hardcore tonight.
I'm just seriously
super bitter.
Like,
dude, you need a hug. I'm gonna give you a hug.
It's the anonymity. It's the anonymity out there on the internet that drives me nuts.
You are like opening a can of whoop ass tonight.
Okay. Just like, I'm gonna shove your iPad up your ass. That's what I'm gonna do.
Put it on a Christmas card, all right? Seriously.
Anyway, sorry, didn't mean to go off on a tangent.
You know what, Misha, your songs are just awesome. Your record sounds awesome. I can't wait to see more things that you're doing. What's one of the things that you're most excited about showcasing with this record? What's the one, in one word, tell me something that you're excited about that you want people to feel from this record?
Well, definitely, you know, the showmanship live. You know, just because I've worked...
That was way too many words. I said one word.
What? Well, Nikki, you're making it hard for me.
Like for Nikki.
You got that, right?
Nikki, it's boobs. That's what he wants to see. Just one word. Boobs.
You're terrible. You're terrible. You're going to hell.
There's no hell.
Not you.
There's no hell.
There's no hell.
I'm just kidding.
Boo.
All right. So tell me in one word, what do you want people to feel from this record?
Just freshness.
Freshness. There you go.
She even gave me two words. Just freshness.
Now I'm thinking cucumbers. That's all I'm thinking.
No, but you know what? It's got a vibe. It's got a, like, I like that it's got, you got a little bit of the island thing in it.
Yeah.
You got a lot of the club pop electronica thing. Mm-hmm. You can tell that your vocals and harmonies are sophisticated more so than most pop music, you know, out there.
It's unique, but it's mainstream.
It's unique, but it's mainstream. I like
it's
that.
Pretty cool.
See, if you asked me for four words, I could have said that.
You're like, I really want it to be unique but mainstream. That's why you need Eddie here. When you get past all his bitter comments, he's got some real gems.
When he's not hating the world.
If you can peel off the calloused layers of hate, There's a warm, gooey center. 15 years of stand-up comedy will do that to you.
I think 15 years of doing anything artistic will make you a little crazy.
Yeah.
You
know, oh, yeah.
You know, that's what it's about. We love showcasing new talent. Misha, you're a phenomenal talent.
So what's your website
Jackson,
again?
Jackson, you're an awesome
Twitter
talent
handle?
On guitar as well. Thanks, yeah, give us all your websites and all your social media.
Yeah, so you can check me out on SoundCloud and Facebook and Instagram, and it's all going to be Misha Cicelle, M-I-C-H-A-C-I-S-E-L-L-E.
Cool.
Yeah, and thank you guys so much for having
thank
me.
Of
like,
course.
Nikki,
thank you guys for coming.
And Eddie, it was so good of you to
it's
have
fun,
me.
It's fun, right? It's such, yeah. It's such a fun show. And you know what? Eddie's not as bitter as you think.
No, today you called me on a bitter day. Sorry, it's just a... Today was a bitter day.
It's all
day.
That rain. Come on, who wouldn't be grumpy?
just a bitter day. It's all right, though.
It's all right. It's the holidays. Yeah. Tis the season to be bitter.
Yeah. So it's stressful. The holidays are stressful. So that's all.
Well, we'll all give Eddie a hug after this, and all will be merry. But
God
Misha,
damn it!
Misha Jackson, thank you so much for being on
thank
the show.
Thank you.
We hope to see more of you both in the world of music. So we'll see you here next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.